Good evening. I'd like to welcome each of you here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm glad Brother David brought up these scripture verses in Ether, and I do remember them. I think I've probably preached them often because they've been so important to me in my life, and I'm going to read them again. Ether 5, verses 28 and 29. I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will shew unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will shew unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. And I have to tell you that when I was considering baptism, I didn't know how I could be forgiven of the sins I'd committed. And I just thought I was too awful, to be quite honest. And it was this scripture verse that let me know that his grace was sufficient for me. And that he could make weak things become strong in me. And that gave me such great hope. And so I guess, as we're considering this theme of prayer. Remember, even that gift of faith is a gift. And we don't, not any of us deserve to do things well. We aren't good by nature, but we are weak by nature. Yeah, but God is strong. And he's able to give us the words to pray, the things to say, the things to ask, the words we can praise him with. So the title of this sermon is An Invitation to Prayer. And if you'll remember, this morning our brother Brian talked about some of those good things that God has given us, those benefits. And one of those good things that he talked about is prayer. And so I'm going to talk about prayer. What is prayer? And this is from Webster's 1828 dictionary. Prayer, in a general sense, is the act of asking for a favor, and particularly with earnestness. I like to liken it to begging. And I'll go into that later. The first definition is, the first definition in Webster's is, and there, this is kind of a list of things that prayer is. In worship, a solemn address to the Supreme Being, consisting of adoration, or an expression or a sense of God's glorious perfections, confession of our sins, supplication for mercy and forgiveness. We do all of these things in prayer. Intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and benefits. And I kind of listed those out so we can think about these a little more. So what is prayer in worship? It's adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. It's an opportunity to worship our supreme being, our creator, God who created us, to worship him for everything he is. And in this next step, I talked about It talks about the expression of the great characteristics of God. Or I think it's said here in this, of the sense of God's glorious perfections. Think about all those wonderful things that God is. When it's talking about Christ, in the Old Testament, I didn't look this up, but I from some of the names, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Everlasting Father, there's lists of names who God is. And so when we worship him, we can list all those things that God is for us in being our God. In prayer, we confess our sins. We be honest with him. We pour out our heart unto him. For the guilt we have of sinning, for those things we know we did wrong, it's an opportunity to confess before him. And then we supplicate or beg him for mercy and forgiveness of those sins. We repent. We have that godly sorrow, one where we turn our heart from the pleasure of that sin to a forgiving God who loves us with a desire to change. To change our ways, to change our thoughts, to change whatever put us into the place where we committed that sin. And then in prayer, we intercess for blessings on behalf of others and ourselves. So we ask God for blessings for others, and we do that in prayer service. We often list those needs that people have for blessings, and we pray for them, and we pray for their different needs. And we should do the same for ourselves. And now, what is the verb to pray? What does that mean? In Webster's 1828 dictionary, to pray means to ask with earnestness or zeal, as for a favor or something desirable, to entreat, to supplicate. So that, going back to the beginning of that, to ask with earnestness or zeal. Once again, I'm going to say beg, because when you see a beggar, they are dependent on somebody else for their needs. And they, when someone is really begging, they are earnest in their desire to get whatever it is they need. And that's how we should be with God. We should be earnest in our desire to ask him for those things that we need. To pray is to petition, to ask as for a favor, as in, well, this is specific to a legislative body, but it is a petition to our God to ask him for favor. In worship, it is to address the Supreme Being with solemnity and reverence, with adoration, confession of sins, supplication for mercy, and thanksgiving for blessings received. We are all beggars before God. And King Benjamin taught us this in his speech to his people before he died. In Mosiah 2, beginning in verse 32, "For behold, are we not all beggars?" And he was saying to them to this to them, when he was telling them not to turn the beggar out to perish. And so we're to give to those who are in need. And but he says, and he explains it this way, and I love it because it shows me my place before God. For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substance which we have, for both food and raiment, and for gold and for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind? We depend upon God for those things. We depend upon him because he gives us the strength to work for them, the job that we have to work, to be able to make money, to buy food and raiment. He gives us the very breath we breathe, the very life we live, to be able to work and to get money. So we are dependent upon him, all of us. Verse 33, and behold, even at this time ye have been calling on his name and begging for a remission of your sins. We beg him to forgive us of our sins. We beg him. It's when we beg him for a remission of our sins. And 34, and hath he suffered that ye have begged in vain? Did he forgive you of your sins? Yes, he did. He did not suffer that you beg in vain. Nay, he hath poured out his spirit upon you and hath caused that your hearts should be filled with joy and hath caused that your mouths should be stopped. Ye could not find utterance, so exceeding great was your joy. And this is specifically talking about this people at this time when King Benjamin gave this speech. He taught them the gospel of Christ, and they were filled with joy, and so they knew what he was speaking was truth, that they were beggars before God and that God had blessed them because of it. So when we pray, we should be beggars before God, recognizing our nothingness and his everything that he is to us. When did prayer begin? Man talked with God from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. After that, the next reference we have to prayer is in Genesis 4. Genesis 4, verses 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. What was prayer like in the Old Testament versus the New Testament? In the Old Testament, many, including David, prayed to God, but God spoke to them through prophets. And Hebrews 1 talks about this. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. I want us to think about prayer as communication with God. Not only us talking to him and asking, but him responding to us. Because that's what we have available, is our Creator, our Savior, who desires to communicate with us, desires for us to come to him. And he wants to talk with us. And so In the last days, God speaks to us by his Son and by the Holy Ghost. We have the word of his Son, and then he left us with the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. In John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and this is Christ speaking, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So we have those words of Christ, and also the Holy Ghost will remind us of those words and will teach us according to that word. Those things we need to know, but God will teach us through the Holy Ghost that we've been baptized with, if we have been baptized with it. He will teach us what we need to know. He will teach us all things, it says. So we have God available now to us. We can speak directly to the Father, and he can speak to us. God could speak to us through the Holy Ghost. We are commanded to pray. I found at least 6 places in the Bible and the Book of Mormon that say something similar to ask and you shall receive. Here's one of them in Matthew 21, 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And other verses qualify that to say that we should ask for that which is right. So if we ask God for things that are right, things that are according to his will, not go asking for all the riches in the world, but things that we can have that will help us in our service to God. If we ask for those things, we shall receive them. And I guess I want to qualify that again with we need to ask according to his will. I think about when Christ gave the example when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, if this cup pass me by, but not my will, but thine be done. And so he asked for something that could be good, but it wasn't the Father's will. And he asked overall that the Father's will be done. And he gave us that example that we should always ask in accordance with the will of the Father. Another way that that we're commanded to pray, and our brother Brian mentioned this morning, and he talked about how our brother David mentioned this yesterday in our prayer breakfast, read this scripture from Alma 16, verses 220 through 222. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. So we should be praying to God about our work, that it would be fruitful, that we'd do a good job in it, that we'd make good choices, and that good fruit would come from it. Verse 221, but this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets and in your secret places and in your wilderness. So, interesting thing here, closets, secret places, and wilderness. These are all in secret. This is about our relationship with God, with Christ. It's about drawing near to him. Not, this is not a prayer in prayer service, but in our time alone with God, our Creator. Strengthening that relationship with Him. And what's it say? Pour out your souls. He wants to hear everything. He wants us to draw near to Him with everything, all our, with our emotions, with everything that we are. He wants to hear from us daily. He wants to hear from us. He wants that relationship with us, that close relationship with us. Verse 2:22, yea, and when ye do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto Him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you. He's wanting us to talk to Him or be in commune with Him throughout the day at a moment's notice, just to speak to Him for our needs and for the needs of our brothers and sisters, family, friends, enemies. He wants us to pray for everyone. How should we pray? Jesus taught us the manner in which we should pray, 3 Nephi 5:101 through 106. For after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So He wants us to address our Father in heaven. That's who this prayer should be directed to. And He wants us to recognize, once again, those great characteristics of God: His holiness, His greatness, who He is in our presence, how much we adore Him. And here it is, thy will be done. So once again, we're praying for His will, not our own. Verse 103, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. 104, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's us crying out for forgiveness of those sins we've committed. And at the same time, recognizing our desire to forgive those around, those who've offended us. Now that's kind of hard it could be hard, I should say. But this is a reminder that it is required for us to forgive others if He's going to forgive us. It's required that we forgive all those who've offended us, everyone. Verse 105, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So this part of the prayer is asking God to protect us from those temptations that we're faced with daily. We're supposed to pray that He protect us, that we not be tempted, or that we're able to resist those temptations, and that He'll deliver us from the enemy's plan to cause us to fall. Verse 106, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, recognizing His kingship, His power, His glory, the glory that is due Him from us. Luke 11, before I go there. So Jesus taught us how often we should pray. We should ask him for things. We should pray. Luke 11, 5 through 9. Now in this verse, he had just got through teaching us what we call the Lord's Prayer. And then he starts into this parable. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, and this is Jesus speaking, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And so I want to explain this. That word importunity means a constant bothering. And so what Jesus is teaching us here is to constantly bother him. To constantly ask. So how often should we ask? How often we should we pray? We should constantly ask. Now, always ask for his will, but don't give up asking unless you understand that it's not his will. Keep asking for those things you stand in need of. Keep asking for his blessings. Keep asking if you sin and repent. Keep asking for his forgiveness. I'm not saying once he's forgiven you, you don't have to keep asking. But we should constantly ask for those things that we stand in need of. So I'm going to read that verse again, verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise, and this is, of course, talking about the friend, not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And, you know, this also reminds me of when we talked about the definition of prayer. In a general sense, the act of asking for a favor, and particularly with earnestness. That's what that importunity is talking about. Also, in this definition of the verb to pray, to ask with earnestness or zeal. God wants us to approach him with zeal. And we are to pray in Jesus' name. Third book of Nephi, chapter 8, verse 54. But ye shall pray for them and shall not cast them out. So this is talking about those who come to visit us. We should not cast them out. It says, but here in the congregation, it says, but ye shall pray for them and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore, hold up your light that it may shine unto the world. So we are to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. There was another scripture that I meant to add there, and it was more plain on this praying to the Father in Jesus' name. And I am sorry that I did not get it in here. The importance of humility in prayer in Luke 18. I love this. I love this scripture, this parable, talks about two men that went to pray. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, he expresses that earnestness, that zeal, that need for God, that dependence upon God. He expresses that in his cry out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so what does Jesus tell us about the two, which one is praying correctly? He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Of course, we are nothing without God. You know, I want to qualify that, because sometimes we talk about how we are an enemy to God by nature. And sometimes that people feel, well, I don't feel that way, but that's because they've been used by God, and they know that with God, we are beautiful creatures. He loves, that's why he loves us, because he created us to be the people he's called us to be, and he finds joy in a relationship with us when we seek his will and do it. And so he's given us the ability to be beautiful creatures, but not without him. We need him for any good thing that we do. So I love this, the expression of this publican, because this publican recognizes their need for God. And I'm going to end this sermon tonight with this scripture reading. It's my favorite prayer. And it's when Jesus prayed for you and I. It's found in 3rd book of Nephi, chapter 9, beginning in verse 20. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them and went a little way off from them and bowed himself to the earth. And he saith, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen. And it is because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. Father, I pray thee that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall believe in their words. That's you and I. If we believe in the words that found in the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and also believe in the words of those who wrote the Book of Mormon, this was specifically talking about the disciples in the Book of Mormon, and that they believed in him. And so they were chosen out of the world. But then it says in this verse 21, Father, I pray thee that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall believe in their words. So that's you and I, because we believe in the words of these disciples. And verse 22, Father, thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in me. And thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them. They pray to the Father. And they pray with sincere words of belief in Jesus and in the Father. They believe in, and thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them, and they pray unto me. And they pray unto me because I am with them. Because God in the flesh is with them. Verse 23, and now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all they which shall believe in their words, that's you and I, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. Jesus Christ prayed that you and I might be one with him and the Father. And that's what prayer is all about. That relationship with him and being one with him, drawn out to him. And so, brothers and sisters, it's my prayer that you and I might be one with him, and that we might practice being one with him in prayer. May God bless each of you.